Thank you. Just a quick announcement from Gwynedd. The trains from Ilkley to Leeds are disrupted, apparently, and it involves a bus journey. But Ilkley taxis are offering a special rate of £25 per taxi for four people, and if you're interested, to meet up at reception, okay? Okay. Emma Roberts is the co-founder of the EFT Centre in London, a co-founder with Sue Beer. She's done much pioneering work with cancer patients, particularly breast cancer, and the charity Breast Cancer Haven. And she's a highly skilled EFT therapist, and drawing on her background in psychology, clinical hypnotherapy, and NLP. I've known Emma for about just over 2 years now, I think. I think the test of true friendship is when you think you've known someone forever. Well, that's true, certainly true to say with Emma. And thank you, and pass you over to Emma.
Okay. Thank you. I don't want that. Okay, I'm just going to test the mic. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, good. Okay, hi everybody, good afternoon. You've made it through to Sunday afternoon. Well done. All right, I'm going to talk to you for a short time about my work with cancer, and then I'm going to work with Pam in the front here, who is, or has had cancer, on whatever happens to come up. We worked once on the phone in January, and we haven't really spoken since. We just did the one session. But she's made huge progress and got extraordinary results. So we're just going to pick it up and see where it leads. So no plan, actually, as far as that goes, have we, Pam? But we'll see what happens. I've been, for about the last 3 years, I've been working for a breast cancer charity in London called Breast Cancer Haven, which basically offers complementary therapies to anybody with breast cancer at any stage, and their families and their relatives. It's a very, very special place. We see extraordinary results. We're in the middle of a research program on that at the moment. And the main results seem to be coming from the energy psychologies. When I say that, I mean the kinesiology, health kinesiology, EFT, and actually acupuncture as well, so the energy work. That's the sort of the core of their strength, of their team, if you like. A lot of therapists don't want to go to this area. They just say, no, I can't do that cancer, it's too scary. So my passion really is to inspire everybody here to get out there and get into this field. It is so needed. People need you so badly, and you've got the skills to make an enormous, enormous difference. People often say to me, well, I don't know where to start. How would I begin? It's so big, it's so overwhelming. So what I'm going to do is give you a few clues as to how I go about it. And obviously, it's different for every client. But I can give you a sort of basic structure. At the end of the session, I'll leave 10 minutes so that any of you can ask questions of either of us, if that's all right with you. So if anything comes up, don't worry, you'll get your chance to answer the questions later. So where to start? Well, as with anything with EFT, you start where your client's at. You start with what they're presenting with, which more often than not is going to be anxiety and fear. Until you clear through those layers in the session, you're not going to really get very far with them. You need to just get that door open, even if it's only for the session, just get a window of opportunity so you can go through that into the next piece. Okay? The next piece I would go to, ideally, is the diagnosis. I firmly believe that the trauma of diagnosis creates another cellular response within the cancer, and that if you can clear that from the system, the cancer cells have a chance to begin healing. I have no evidence for that, but I see that as a turning point very often, right at the beginning of the treatment, so clearing the trauma of the diagnosis using either tearless trauma or the movie technique. Now, you need to go into it in huge detail. You need to get every aspect. Is it a voice tone? How did the consultant look? Was it the consultant? Was it the nurse? The Breast Cancer Haven was actually set up on the basis of a trauma of diagnosis. The founder's nanny was diagnosed with breast cancer at the Marsden in London, which is one of our top, well, is the top cancer hospital in this country, and was told Okay, you've got breast cancer, come back next week, you can have chemotherapy and kicked out. No support, no one to talk to, no idea what breast cancer was or the implications of it, just out and on the bus home, not so much as a cup of tea. So the lady she was working with actually sold her business, which was in oil paintings, completely different business, chucked all the money into this charity and has set up the cancer charity, the breast cancer charity, which is a haven for people to go to talk, to meet, to discover, to learn. It's a very frightening thing. Even if you think you know what the diagnosis is going to be, it's still frightening if you have it. That trauma, there's no escaping the fact that that is a traumatic moment. So you need to go into it in huge depth, I'd say, really meticulously, get every little detail of it. Okay? After that, I would be looking for preceding traumas. Not necessarily going right back to childhood at this point. Again, my belief, which is borne out in the work that I've done, the work that I continue to do, is that somewhere in about the 6 years leading up to a cancer diagnosis, the patient, the client, will have experienced extreme shock, sudden shock, be it an accident, be it a bereavement, be it whatever it is, that is still stuck in their system. It seems to me that somewhere along the line, that shock creates a cellular response. It creates a change in the cell structure. Now, there's a doctor. Has anyone heard of Dr. Rick Hamer? Meta-medicine, new German medicine, yeah? Okay, well, he's a doctor who's taken this an awful lot further, so much further that actually I think he's in prison at the moment. I may be wrong, but I think he is.
No, yeah? No.
No?
I think it was out, but he might be going back.
Okay. Anyway, basically the drug companies do not like what he's coming up with. And he's made links to specific cancers connecting to specific traumas. Now, I don't know enough about it to say yes or no, but what I will say is that in my work with breast cancer, I certainly see links to specific types of trauma earlier on. So I think the shock response of an accident or something like that creates the change in cells, but I think the chemistry or the potential for that is already up and running from earlier on. So you're looking at two forms of trauma. Okay, so as you always do with EFT, you're looking for the specific events that have created trauma in the first place, but you're also looking for even more specific in like about the 6 years, and I say that slightly generalized, it could be a little bit more, a little bit less. Okay? Then you need to look for their beliefs. The obvious ones, what do they believe about cancer? What have the guys in the white coats said to them on the diagnosis? There is actually research carried out called white coat syndrome. The doctors carry enormous power with their words. It's like the Aboriginal witch doctors. They used to point the bone at somebody and they died. That was the belief system of the culture. We believe our doctors. Well, some of us don't, but most people believe their doctors. And they have the power, and particularly in that sort of traumatic thing. You need to clear what they've heard from the doctors, from their friends, from their own, wherever they've got their beliefs from, if they're negative beliefs in any way, you need to begin to clear them. You're not going to totally collapse a negative belief about cancer. Nobody wants to have it. But you have to open the window of possibility for them. Okay? I had a client, one of the very first people I worked with cancer, actually. She was an acupuncturist, and we had a great journey together. I mean, this was about, 7 years ago now, I suppose. We had a fantastic journey together. It was a real honour to be with her on this journey. But we just happened to be talking. She's also a colleague of mine. We happened to be talking at one point, casually, in the session, but sort of a bit of chit-chat. And she said, you know, when I was young, she's only 34 now, when I was young, my anthem used to be that Blondie song, you know, Die Young, Stay Beautiful. Does everyone know that? Anyone remember that? Well, if you're going around saying that to yourself and singing that to yourself in a formative time of your life, in your early teens, when your brain is developing, what is likely to happen? You know, and she thought I was completely nuts. So I said, come on, we're going to actually tap on that. This is not sensible here. Let's tap on it. And you know, I don't know whether that was a turning point or not, but she's still alive today and still beautiful, but alive. So dig. The beliefs could be very heavily disguised. Okay? The other thing I will often do, and Sue and I run groups at the Breast Cancer Haven, is I will get everybody tapping on the word cancer. If you say that to yourselves in your head now, notice the response and just tap as you say that word to yourself, because with the best will in the world, you are going to have a response to that. We're indoctrinated to have a negative response to that word. Okay? Unless you happen to be an astrologer. All right. Then we'll look at the physical. Now, there are, again, two angles to looking at the physical. There's the obvious pain reduction, sort of management, if you like. But actually, I think that you can take this a lot further. My belief is that you can get physiological changes that we can't actually see internally by working with this. And we use, Sue and I just use a really simple technique. We use Pat Carrington's choices. Is everybody familiar with that? And we'll set up a choice of, you know, even though my tumour is 2 centimetres, I choose for it to be 1 centimetre soon or something like that. So gradually, something that in the client's mind is achievable. And you set them homework like that, and with a choice for them to go home and tap on, and we seem to get results. The only way I know we get results from that is by trying it out on something that no one else is working on. And I tried it out, well, in our group, actually, we tried it out on people having chemotherapy whose veins were collapsing. After a certain amount of time, veins can collapse, and they have to have ports put in. And there was this one girl who said, I'm on Chinese herbs, I cannot have a port put in, because her belief system was that the herbs were really going to cure her. She was just humouring people with the chemotherapy, but you can't have Chinese herbs with a port in your arm. I don't know why. But so we said, okay, well, how do you feel about your veins at the moment? And she said, well, my veins, I think they're weak and feeble. Okay, how do you want them to be? I want them to be strong and robust. So very simple, even though my veins are weak and feeble, I choose for them to be strong and robust. She was religious with this. She took it off and she tapped every hour. She set her phone alarm on it and she did a round of this. And she went to the hospital for the next thing of chemo, and the nurse looked at her and went, wow, your veins are strong and robust. Now, that's not a word that we use, really, is it? I mean, but it was actually, she was having her own words echoed back to her. This stuff works. We then tried it out more in the group. And it worked again and again and again. In fact, I have yet to see somebody who uses it consistently where it hasn't worked. But you have to use it very regularly. Okay. So that's a really interesting way of working. We also teach people David Lait's continual tapping as they go in and they sit and they have their chemotherapy. And it seems to be that the tappers of this world who really use it respond to chemotherapy much more effectively. They do not have the side effects to the same extent. And if they can tap whilst they're receiving it, and often we get them to visualize it as whatever works for them, but silver elixir of life seems to be quite a useful one if you're stuck for words, they will receive those chemicals and allow them to do their job rather than fighting against the poisons. It makes a huge difference. Okay? The other area to look at is their environment. Cancer is not a one-person disease. It affects family, friends, colleagues. A lot of people come into that kind of spectrum who will be affected by it. Look at who needs help. Bring the children into the session. Teach the children how to tap if there are children, because that gives them some power in it. They can actually feel that they're doing something for themselves, for whoever else it is. There may be financial issues you need to look at. Okay? There may be, those will be adding extra anxieties onto the situation. They don't need any more anxiety. Okay? So work through those. Lifestyle issues, drinking, smoking, drug taking, all sorts of things can be getting in the way which need to be stopped, not in a month's time, but now. Very difficult. And they're the most anxious they've probably ever been to say, right, no, but you can't have your prop. No way. So you need to kind of work very gently with that in an immediate way. I will always say to my cancer clients that I am there, but pick up the phone if you're feeling whatever. I'd much rather spend 5 minutes on the phone tapping with them than have them just go back to square one or get anxious or whatever, because I think it's, you know, so powerful. It doesn't matter to me. 5 minutes, it's great. Okay? And then at the end of the session, I will give them homework. And I know that you're probably thinking, oh, they've got enough on their plates already, but they need to use EFT. Gary had a group of cancer patients going to his house, and they spent, I think, was it 5 days there, Carol? Yeah, about 5 days there. And the ones who tapped a lot afterwards were the ones who went, I hate the word remission, but who actually healed. The ones who sort of did a bit here and there stayed more or less the same. The ones who didn't do it, they just got worse. So there is something in the tapping. They need to keep doing it. So I'll set them. I'll teach them the personal peace process. Is everybody familiar with that? Yeah? I'll give them, I've got a copy of from Gary's website. I'll give them that to take home and teach them how to begin working through that. Saving the big stuff for when they come to see me. Okay? And I'll give them that choice card. Because we're not dealing with something that we're not dealing with a stress that we can do in pieces this week, next week. We have to go fairly firmly in it. Time is not necessarily on our side to get them tapping. Once we've got them tapping regularly, we have all the time in the world, but we need to get that into the system. Okay. So on that note, I'm going to ask Pam to come up and join me, if that's all right. Paul, you can just help. That did worry me. Okay, well done. Okay, before we start, how do you feel about being up here in front of this lot, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Now, as I say, Pam and I spoke January, was it? It was January,
yes.
I think,
yes.
Just after Christmas. We had one session. So yes. I don't know what's been going on for her since. So I need to get a little bit of an update. I've just got a vague idea of where we're going today.
Okay.
But
they did a lumpectomy. Mm-hmm. So I was pleased that they didn't have to remove my breast. So that was good.
Good.
The chemotherapy and the radiotherapy went very well because I had a lot of help from other therapists.
Excellent.
And I had one therapist who gave me a brilliant idea.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me to think about the treatment, period of treatment, as a project.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did. I thought of it as a project, and that was a brilliant reframe.
Excellent. Good.
Because I watched it. I thought, oh, that's interesting, and watched what was happening.
Okay.
So that really helped. And good. And I've used that with, you know, with friends now and giving them a guide. Oh, right. Yes.
So now people can hear you?
Oh, right. It's all gone very well.
Okay, good.
And the prognosis is very good.
Excellent. So where are we at now?
There are two things for me now. Mm-hmm. One is that I've got my son who's 22.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel a lot of guilt.
Okay.
Guilt about getting cancer in the first place.
Okay.
And bringing him all this pain.
Mm-hmm. All right, so.
And worry now that he's very worried because his dad died many years ago, and he's only got me.
Okay.
And that's my big issue.
Okay, and as you say that now, how do you feel?
At the moment, I'm just telling you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, that guilt, I don't want you to tune into it. But if you were, guess at how strong it might be.
It would be about a 9.
Okay. So let's just tap on that. We'll keep it over there somewhere, all right? Behind there. Even though I have this 9 guilt, and if you could just join in with her. I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Even though I have this 9 guilt. What's your son's name?
Ben.
About Ben.
About Ben.
And what he's been through.
And what he's been through.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself anyway.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself anyway.
This 9 guilt.
This 9 guilt.
Nine guilt. Take a deep breath in and out. Okay. If you were to access it, would it still be a 9 now?
When I mentioned his name.
Brings it up. Okay. And whereabouts in your body are you feeling it?
I'm not at the moment. That just sort of pushed it a bit when we mentioned it.
Where did it push it?
I don't know. Okay.
Even though something happened when I said Ben's name.
Something happened when I said Ben's name. That's hard. Yeah.
I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
When I mention his name, it makes it real.
Mm. Okay. All right. Is it okay to make it real? Would you rather keep it over there?
No, it's good to make it real. And we can deal with it.
Okay. Even though saying his name makes it real for me.
Even though saying his name makes it real for me.
And I don't really want to go there.
And I don't really want to go there.
Part of me does.
Part of me does.
Is that true?
Yes. I just don't want any of it to be happening.
Mm. Okay, I wish it would just all go away.
It would all go away.
And I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
And I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
This guilt.
This guilt.
This guilt.
This guilt.
This Ben guilt.
This Ben guilt.
That name.
That name.
It's all in his name.
It's all in his name.
That guilt.
That guilt.
My guilt.
My guilt.
I wish it would just all go away.
I wish it would go away.
I don't want it.
I don't want it.
Why can't it go away?
Why can't it go away?
This guilt. I wish it would just all go away.
It would all go away.
What are you thinking, Pam?
That it seems an impossible situation because it is a fact.
Yeah.
And it can't go away.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how would you like to feel about that fact? Because you've got guilt now and upset. What would you like instead of that? What could we work for that would be useful?
There's a part of me that feels that I deserve to feel guilty because I'm to blame.
Okay. How do you feel as you say that?
Seems a fact.
Okay. No emotional response to it?
No.
Okay. Okay. Even though part of me feels I deserve this.
Even though part of me feels I deserve this.
Guilt.
This guilt.
Is that true? Yes. And it's a fact.
I feel as though I'm responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yes. Oh. I feel that somehow I've caused his cancer. I've caused his suffering.
Okay.
When his dad died, he was just nearly 5, and his father committed suicide. And I felt very responsible for that. So I feel as though there have been 2 major things for him that have been very hard, and I feel responsible for both of them.
Have you done any work around your husband's suicide?
I've done some tapping.
Yeah. Okay. What I'd like you to do is to go to that time very quickly, the time of that point of that where you feel the most guilty. Which piece of it is it that gets the most guilt? What thought brings that guilt up as high as it's possible? And since you get that, I want you to put it over there.
His father dying.
Okay, the moment of? The moment of? Was it you telling him? What is it that brings that up? Let me tap on you just whilst you access that.
There isn't a moment that pushes itself at me.
Okay, all right. Let's just go with this. He died.
He died.
And I feel responsible.
And I feel responsible.
He died.
He died.
And it caused Ben this unhappiness.
It caused Ben a loss.
A loss, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Ben's loss.
Ben's loss.
I'm responsible for it.
And I'm responsible for it.
Ben's loss.
Ben's loss.
What's happening?
It's still just a fact.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so no charge to it?
No.
No, okay. So when you think about that happening to Ben then, how old is he? You said he was 5?
Yes, nearly 5, a few weeks after 5.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what you're saying is you feel responsible for the fact that you've
lost
got
his dad.
Yeah, and that now you've got the cancer?
Yes, and he's frightened he's going to lose me.
Okay, has he talked to you about that?
He just keeps telling me how much he loves me, and don't go, Mummy, don't go. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how does that make you feel?
Pain.
Okay.
I don't feel it now, but no. When you says it, it is.
When he says it?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So is it the sound of his voice?
I just, because I want to make it, just want to make everything right for him.
Yeah, then of course you do, you're his
yes.
mum.
Yes.
Absolutely. All right. So even though I just want to make it all okay.
Even though I just want to make it all okay.
And I can't.
And I can't.
Maybe.
I mean, the chances are that I live a long and healthy life.
Mm. Okay.
But he's got that fear.
Okay. Even though Ben's got that fear.
Even though Ben's got that fear.
And it's all my fault.
And it's all my fault.
I'm responsible for it.
I'm responsible for it.
Maybe.
At the moment, there doesn't seem any maybe.
Mm-hmm. Because?
It's a fact.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's a fact.
It's a fact.
I can't change it.
I can't change it.
Tuffing's not going to change it.
Tuffing's not going to change it.
I can't change it.
I can't change it.
It's a fact.
It's a fact.
I am responsible.
I am responsible.
I am responsible.
I'm responsible.
I'm his mum.
I'm his mum.
I am responsible.
I'm responsible.
I am his mum.
I'm his mum.
And that's okay. Yeah?
It's my role to look after him.
Yeah. Okay, it's my role to look after him. Mm. And are you?
Well, apart from two major things, yes.
Mm. Okay. Okay, so right now.
So right now.
When you think about it, are you looking after Ben right now? Sitting here? Are you looking after his needs?
Apart from that, yes.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. So how could you change that?
I don't know.
Just guess. Make something up.
Well, if I could go to the end of the story, when I'm 90 years old, okay. Say to him, see, I told you, everything would be all right.
Okay, good. So what I'd like you to do is to close your eyes, and I'd like you to imagine a line stretching from you here now out into the future. And your job here is to make that line as beautiful, as sparkling, as colourful as you want, whatever works for you. Going through decade after decade after decade, and as you do that, and you see it stretching out there in front of you, how does it look?
Looks good.
Mm-hmm, good. What I want you to do now is to put the you of the future on that line. Right the way at the end there, 90, 100, 110, wherever you want to put you.
Mm.
And how does she look?
Happy.
Yeah? Mm. Good. And if she could turn around to the you sitting here today and give you a few words of advice, we'll tell you about that journey. What might she say?
Just enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. And how easy has it been? Our journey.
It's been good.
And where's Ben?
He's happy.
Mm-hmm. And how does that feel?
Good.
Excellent. Mm. All right. Okay. So when you think about that now, and you can open your eyes when you're comfortable. Okay. Mm. When you think about that now, and that you over there in the future, telling you how easy it's been good, it's been fun. And had some fun.
Mm.
How does that change how you feel? Sitting here now.
There's two things happening now.
Mm-hmm.
There's that, it's very nice.
Yeah. It's the butt that's coming underneath that.
And there's the other bit that thinks, but I can't guarantee that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Even though I can't guarantee that.
Even though I can't guarantee that.
I'm open to the possibility.
I'm definitely open to the possibility.
Mm. I like the idea.
Mm, I like the idea.
Maybe I can attract it into my life.
Maybe I can attract it into my life.
I know how.
Yes, yeah. I know how. Okay.
And I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
And I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
And I love and accept that 90-year-old me as well.
Yes, and I love and accept that 90-year-old me as well.
I am okay.
I am okay.
I'm not sure. I can't guarantee it. Can you guarantee it now?
Can't guarantee it. But that's a definite possibility.
Okay, good. How do you know that?
That it's a possibility.
Mm.
Because anything is a possibility.
Excellent. What would happen if I said to you, or if I asked you if you would change that to a probability? What's the feeling that comes up with that?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's
excellent.
Acceptable.
Yeah. Okay, good. And as you think about that being a probability, that you over there,
yeah.
How does that change now, those feelings for Ben? How can you change the way you are with him to support him?
Well, I know about changing the vibration.
Uh-huh, good.
Bringing something to me.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So what's
and
the
that
first step?
Guilt is a waste of time.
Mm-hmm. What's the first step in that then? Bringing that into your life, that probability.
Whenever Ben feels guilty about something,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't need to anyway.
Mm.
I always say to him, it's a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
Don't waste your energy on that.
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise I'm doing the same thing, I'm wasting my energy on it.
Excellent. So what could you direct your energy towards?
That 19-year-old.
How easy is that going to be? Have fun. What would you be doing that you're not doing now?
Letting the guilt go.
Okay. Would that be okay to do that now? So
yes.
Tap.
Because okay. It is a waste of time, mm-hmm. waste of energy.
All right.
It's a bit of a luxury.
It's a luxury.
You know, they say you can't allow the luxury of a negative thought.
So what would you like instead? If we were to create a choice of even though I have this guilt, I choose, what would that be?
I choose to live life and enjoy it.
Okay, good.
Nourish it.
Excellent.
Get on with it.
Well, let's go with that. Even though I've got this guilt.
Even though I have this guilt.
Yeah, we'll go. You had it or you have it? Has it gone already?
It does seem a waste of
time. How do you do
that
then?
Could be something to do with it.
I think Gary would say, good answer to that. All right, is it there though? Is there any guilt left? If you think about Ben now, because it was thinking of Ben that brought it up before.
The feeling is, it's not as I wanted it to be,
mm-hmm.
but that's just too bad. That's the way things go.
Yep.
And then you have to move forward.
Okay. And when you think about moving forward?
That feels good.
Yeah? Okay, good. All right. So I want you to think about Ben and his fears and those words that he says to you. No, don't go. I want you to be around. What else? I can't remember what else he said to you. You said some things he said to you.
Yes.
Yeah. I want you to just close your eyes and hear him saying that to you now. Like he was here where I am now. I'm just going to tap around on you whilst you do that. What's happening, Pam?
Intellectually, I know that he's frightened. Emotionally, I'm putting my attention on moving forward.
Mm-hmm. And if Ben sees you moving forward in this new way, how might that change that fear?
What for him? Well, I've always told him
that I'm moving forward and that I intend mm-hmm. to live a long and mm-hmm. healthy and happy life. But he still has that.
But were you telling him from a place with guilt there?
Probably.
And if you told him that now, would it still be from that place, or would it be from a place that really feels congruent within?
It would feel more reality.
Yeah? Okay. All right. So just do that for me one more time. Check in with Ben, hear him saying those things. And as you do that, I'd like you to imagine how your life will be when you're living it with purpose, really, like Carol was talking about yesterday. Mm. On purpose. How will that change? Not just your life, but Ben's life too.
I don't know, because when I've told him that before, mm-hmm. I felt it mm-hmm. and meant it, mm-hmm. but there's always been that pain there as well in the background,
okay.
about the guilt, which I haven't said to him.
Mm-hmm.
I've told him
yeah.
the happy things.
Okay, and is that pain still in the background?
No.
No, okay.
Doesn't seem to be.
All right. And is it okay not to know?
Yes, because mm-hmm. I can tap again.
Mm. What could you choose for it to be instead of the pain?
Just the happy looking forward mm. and just enjoying life, which I do most of the time.
Yes, I know. Okay.
It was only those words that
yeah
pushed things forward.
Is there anything else that Ben says that pushed those buttons that spike?
It's mainly that, honey.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What I'd like to do now, if it's okay with you, is to take you back to the time of your husband's suicide, that little 5-year-old boy. And as I do that, to say that to you, how do you feel?
It's a story.
Mm-hmm. When you think of the little Ben, it's about that big.
Yes.
How do you feel about that? Did he used to say anything to you then that would spark that pain?
Mm. Oh, yes.
He did? Okay. All right. What sort of thing might he say? And if you don't want to share it, that's fine, as long as you're running it in your head. Are you tuning into something?
No. It's still just a story, a memory. A story.
Okay. All right. So no charge to his words before?
No.
Okay. Excellent. All right. Is there anything else you'd like to work on right now?
Yes, there's one more thing.
Good.
I'm now on a drug for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
And I'm having side effects from it.
Okay, which drug are you on?
Letrozole. It's a new one.
Okay. And the side effects are?
It's making me stiff.
Okay.
Not stiff and tired.
All right. Where is the stiffness predominantly?
My joints, when I sit down, once I walk, I'm fine.
Okay.
And but most of all, my thumbs.
Okay.
They've become very, very weak and tender.
All right. How do you take this drug? Is it
a pill every morning.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. And when you think about taking that pill every morning, how do you feel?
I've been taking it for a few months now. Mm-hmm. When I first started taking it, I thought, great, this is really good.
Mm-hmm.
This is protecting me.
Yeah.
And now I think, I've got this pill which is protecting me, and then it's doing my thumbs in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And,
so
that's a kind of a mixed, yeah. Yes?
Yes.
Yeah, even though I've got this conflict.
Even though I've got this conflict.
I want to take this drug.
I'd be frightened not to take it.
I'm going to take it.
Yes, I'm going to
and
take it.
And I'm not saying don't take it at all.
Then I realise that, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to take it.
I'm going to take it.
But it's doing my thumbs in.
Doing my thumbs in.
And the rest of my body.
Yeah, and the rest of my body.
And I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
And I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Even though part of my body is not accepting this.
Even though part of my body is not accepting this.
Part of my body is in conflict with this drug.
Part of my body is in conflict with this drug.
I deeply and completely love and accept all parts of me.
I deeply and completely love and accept all parts of me.
I am okay.
I am okay.
This conflict.
This conflict.
Part of me is in conflict.
Part of me is in conflict.
Part of me wants it.
Part of me wants it.
Part of me is rebelling.
Part of me is rebelling.
This conflict.
This conflict.
This, can you say the name of the drug?
Oh, right, this letrozole.
This letrozole conflict.
This letrozole conflict.
Part of me wants it.
Part of me wants it.
Part of me doesn't.
Part of me doesn't.
I'm accepting it.
I'm accepting
it. And I'm rejecting it.
I'm rejecting it.
My thumbs are rejecting it.
Well, my body's confused.
Yeah, they're giving it the thumbs down. This confusion in my body.
This confusion in my body.
I'm confused.
Poor body.
Poor body. It's been through so much.
It's been through so much.
And it's done so well.
And now I'm giving it a drug as well.
Yeah, and now my thumbs don't like it.
Thumbs don't like it.
My joints don't like it.
My joints don't like it.
This stiffness.
This stiffness.
This stiffness in my joints.
In my joints.
This conflict in my joints.
Conflict in my joints.
I choose for my joints.
I choose for my joints.
To accept the drug.
To accept the drug.
I choose for my joints to work with it now.
I choose for my joints to work with it now.
I choose to accept the drug as a healing quality.
I choose to accept the drug as a healing part of me.
Is that okay?
Yes.
How would you like to think of it?
I did that with the chemotherapy.
I
imagined a healing light coming in with it, and that had very few side effects from
the chemotherapy. Yeah, absolutely. Mm. So how can we think of this drug?
I can do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. What would you like to think
See
of it?
See a healing light. Okay. See it healing me. As I see it as a friend.
Mm. You're going to have to fill in a name because I'm hopeless on drug names.
I know, I keep forgetting and I take it.
Okay.
Letrozole.
All right. Let's just go straight into that. I choose to see letrozole as a friend.
I choose to see letrozole as a friend.
I choose to accept its healing light.
Choose to accept its healing light.
Into my body.
Into my body.
In all areas.
In all areas.
Easily.
Easily.
Comfortably.
Comfortably.
I choose to welcome it.
Choose to welcome it.
And I choose to welcome its healing.
And I choose to welcome its healing.
I accept the letrozole.
I accept the letrozole.
And I choose to allow it to contribute to my healing now.
And I choose to allow it to contribute to my healing till I reach 90.
For just as long as I need it. Do you want to take it till you're 90?
No, it's only for 5 years.
Yeah, okay. For just as long as I need it.
Just as long as I need it.
And I choose to continue healing.
And I choose to continue healing.
With or without it.
With or without it.
But I choose to accept it.
I choose to accept it.
Whilst I need it. Whilst I need it.
Whilst I need it.
I choose to see it as that healing light.
I choose to see it as that healing light.
Flowing through my body.
Flowing through my body.
Into my thumbs.
Into my thumbs.
Into my joints.
Into my joints.
I choose to receive it. I
choose to receive it.
And I thank it.
And I thank it.
I really thank it.
I really thank it.
Thank you, letrozole.
Thank you, letrozole.
I choose to accept it into my body.
Choose to accept it into my body.
Easily now.
Easily now.
Take a deep breath in and out. Deep breath.
All right. That's good.
Yeah? Okay. Anything happening in your thumbs as we're doing that?
Not yet.
No, we haven't actually focused on them.
Did it, Sam? Pardon?
We haven't focused on them yet.
No.
If you close your eyes and allow that healing light into your body, I'd like you to allow it to flow around your thumbs now and all other joints that have had this stiffness, just as a beginning. And as you do that, I wonder whether you feel any sensations.
It was very good.
Mm, good, you're giving it the thumbs up there. All right, is there anything else you need to allow that to be fully operational to heal you easily and comfortably now?
I think I'll just do that every morning when I take the tablet.
Do that again?
Yeah.
How did you? Okay.
About the same.
Yeah, I was just interested in the shape that you were holding your hand in. All right. So take a deep breath in and out. And tell me how you're feeling right now. Yeah, good. Is there anything else that needs to happen to complete your healing? No, that's very good. Okay, good. I want you just to go back to where we came in, to the guilt and to Ben's fears, and tell me as I say that what happens, whether it's any response at all. I'm not going to tap on you as you tune into that guilt and to Ben's fears.
It is a fact that he feels it. Mm-hmm. So that the actual situation cannot be removed. But no. I don't feel helpless.
Excellent. So how do you feel when you're not feeling helpless?
Yeah, I feel that, okay, it's a fact. We move on.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
Star.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Do you want to stir up here for questions, or do you want to? Pam's very kindly agreed to stay up here for questions, so do feel free. We've allowed Paul 10 minutes for anybody to ask questions if there's anything for either of us. She'll move you forward away from the mic, actually, is it? I'm just going to move the mic a little bit. Actually, maybe I'm not. Maybe you can stay there with it. Has anyone got any questions for either of us? Silenced. Hi.
My name's Helen, and I just want to say that I found that very profoundly moving and very respectful. There was something very gentle about your way of delivering it. But what my question is, I'm a person-centred counsellor, and I don't do very much touching, and I notice that you are, you know, when I teach EFT or when I'm alongside the client doing EFT, they're doing it to themselves. Mm. And I suppose I'm considering the power of actually doing it to Pam, the power in transmitting your energy rather than her doing it to herself and you doing it alongside, which is how I would do it.
I think Sue and I always teach our students to tap on people, but I would always give them the choice. But I think particularly in this arena, you're going into some scary territory possibly, and if you can go in with them with enough rapport that they know you can lead them out, I personally think it's very, very powerful, and to have the two energy systems combined. But there's no right or wrong way of doing it. Some people work brilliantly with counsellor and just tap on themselves. What I would say is at the end of the first session, I would always teach and make sure they were completely fluent with tapping on themselves, because they have to use it. It's more important than any other treatment, I think. How did you feel being tapped on?
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, good.
I felt it was absolutely right. I think that's what I'm noticing. And so I'm just, for me, I'm considering how do I step into, you know, moving, doing it, you know, the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Mic coming for you.
You've obviously come through some very successful treatment for your cancer. I'm just wondering, because I mean, you focused a lot on many things, but I didn't notice that you did much work on visualizations. I'm just wondering if that's something you utilized a lot yourself. You talked about visualizing a white light coming in, but in earlier stages,
I do. It wasn't
not relevant
for particularly this. Come up in this session, but yes.
Is that something you would do earlier on?
Yes, do it earlier on. I do it with chemotherapy treatment. Yeah. I also do it a bit like we did with the timeline work. See yourself in the future. What are you doing? Yeah. I might build it up a bit more, possibly.
I didn't need to, actually.
I could see from her face that she was completely into it.
Yeah. I'm thinking more in terms of like your white blood cells, like visualizations specifically focusing on your own white blood cells coming in.
Absolutely. With the choices that I talked about earlier, for instance, with the veins, I would have her visualizing what she, you know, the strong, robust veins.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And going in and talking to the cancer cells. Tapas Fleming, who does tapas acupressure technique, goes in and talks to the cancer cells and has them having a little conversation, the immune cell and the cancer cell. I think that's very powerful.
Mm.
Yeah, okay. Definitely.
I noticed you're talking about chemotherapy and drug therapy in general, but you mentioned you had radiotherapy. I work with radiotherapy. I'm wondering what what you do to support radiotherapy at all in the EFT?
You can get amazing results with the burns from radiotherapy, okay. But you can do it in advance as well. I'll often use, actually, again, visualization techniques, cooling agents, like milk seems to be quite a popular one, or cold water. I won't go for ice because ice burns as well. And you can get, actually, within a session, you can see the change in the skin tone with EFT just by tapping on, you know, again, using choices. I think choices are just brilliant for physical change, absolutely brilliant, and we owe to Pat a huge, huge debt for that. But that's what I would do. Yeah, and obviously anxiety about it, I don't want to do it, all the stuff that comes up around it. And again, you know, all I can say is from the healing perspective, all I know is what I can see, but I see these big differences. I mean, I've had clients who come in and look like somebody's put an iron on them.
Yeah.
And then it's...
skin reaction, yeah.
Yeah, and it cools down. And it, you know, usually the skin tone will change. Sometimes it'll just be the temperature that changes, but either way, it's about making it more comfortable for them.
Can I just ask you, is the guilt common?
Yeah, and that sense of responsibility as well is very common. Mm-hmm. But you know, and that's where I think the law of attraction runs into a little bit of danger, actually. It people can say, well, you know, I must have attracted this to myself, I brought it on myself. It's not, I don't think it's quite that simple. In fact, I'm sure it's not that simple. Many, many, many factors go into this. Any other questions?
A very small technical question about how careful one needs to be, how much as a practitioner one has to think about the language. Like, if you, I think before the session you talked about shrinking a tumour soon, and some little bit of something I've read sort of went, wait a minute, don't we have to be terribly precise when we're instructing our subconscious and not keep things in the future?
Well, you get, I mean, you're right.
Or can we just get on with it? I mean, do we have to really be very careful of that?
I wouldn't say shrink the tumour in 3 days, 45 minutes and whatever, because you're setting yourself up for failure. And if you fail or if it doesn't happen, that's that. More anxiety responses, EFT doesn't work. If you use something that's slightly more open-ended but not forever, your unconscious has a system to operate within. The other thing I should say, which I didn't say at the beginning, is when you're working certainly with breast cancer or any form of lymphoma, do not use the sore spot. Okay? For no reason apart from the fact, it's nothing proved, but my sense is a lot of breast cancers and are connected to lymph, and I just wouldn't mess in that area. But not, you know, I can't say it's right or wrong for any other reason apart from sort of
what
common
about
sense.
Under the arm? What about under the arm?
I think under the arm's a positive one. It seems to be connected with loss, and with every cancer there is an element of loss,
so
loss of identity.
One.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If there's scarring and it's painful, I wouldn't necessarily do that.
I don't tap it, but I just sort of press it.
I would, if you can tap it gently just to stimulate it, I would do that to stimulate the energy flow through it.
Okay.
Okay. I guess it's tea time. All right, thank you very much. Thank you, Pam.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.